for the city of San Ramon for November 20th, 2017.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you for coming. We have a bunch of stuff to do today, so I'll try to move quickly through everything and stop talking even now. So has anybody had a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting and approve them? Or is there any changes we need to make that anybody noticed?
I didn't notice the change.
Okay, so would you like to move that we approve them?
Officially move.
Okay.
To approve the minutes.
Can anybody second?
I second.
Thank you. Go ahead and approve those minutes from July 17th. And that brings us into section 3, which is public comment. And we do have a member of the public here today. Anything you'd like to say? No? Okay. Please let us know if there's anything you want to say during the meeting. Let's move into new business. I'm excited to hear about this. We have a new transportation provider in the neighborhood, Chariot, and we're going to have Jeff Sigamora. Did I say it right?
You did.
And would love to hear from him about the program that they're rolling out. And heard a little bit about Chariot the media, so maybe touch base on those things related to that. If you have a second, I can too, if at the end you want me to mention something about it.
All right, so about a month ago, the San Ramon Hotels launched a new shuttle program. It's kind of supplemental to our own, each of us have kind of our own shuttle service, but we kind of pooled our pre-bid money into funding this new shared service, and so we used the company called Chariot out of San Francisco, and they are basically run a route all the way through San Ramon. They touch each of the six hotels in San Ramon, and then they hit the main larger companies inside of Bishop Ranch, so Chevron, SAP, PG&E, GE, and Robert Half, I think is kind of the same area. So they do, I believe, two rounds in the morning to take folks over from the hotels to businesses, and then two rounds in the evening to bring them back to the different hotels. So I believe it hits three hotels, and then it goes a loop around Bishop Ranch, and then it hits the other three hotels, and then a loop around Bishop Ranch. Personally, my hotel has not had anybody ride it yet, and I just think hasn't been too busy. But I know that Yolanda's hotel has had quite a few, so I don't know what the feedback that you've gotten from guests.
I haven't heard anything negative. I think it's been a positive experience for everybody so far.
What's really neat about it is the guests can basically download the Chariot app and then schedule themselves for a ride for the next day or even for the same day. And then it tells them what time that it'll be over to pick them up at their whatever hotel they're at. And then they can schedule that way, so it's very easy for the guests to do so. And again, this kind of supplements our own shuttle services. We still run our own shuttle, like and whatnot, but because I think we
still do.
Kind of just another option for our guests. Which is kind of nice. What we are working on right now is getting a Discover San Ramon logo that's going to go onto the Chariot shuttle to just kind of put some exposure around that as well. So, and, that's Chariot. As far as the media stuff going on, I'm not sure.
Okay. No, I had a question I could roll into that.
Okay.
My understanding is the way your guys' system works is you download the app on your phone. There's certain departures that are pre-scheduled throughout the day.
Correct.
And you request a ticket. I guess you aren't purchasing it. You're just asking for it.
Yes. Generally, with Chariot, you would pay for it, kind of like an Uber service.
Yes.
But this way, we're covering the charges on it for our guests.
Cool. And then they go to the bus with the phone and say, I've purchased this ticket.
That's right.
And do they scan it?
And they'll have their name kind of ready on it.
Oh, they'll already know. Okay.
Yep.
So they'll have it on their reader.
And so they'll look for them when they've got them on the. And then they've also will pick, if they're sitting in our lot and somebody comes out and goes, hey, can I get a ride? They'll take them as well from the hotel if they haven't done the preloading or done the app.
Okay, that's interesting. So can you say that again? Does it, so someone who wants to ride it, who's at the hotel,
could they do that, or is it primarily just for people that are staying at the hotel?
It is for people that are staying at the hotel. That's what it's intended for. But I don't think the demand is so overbearing that they couldn't take somebody that just happened to be there.
If you had a convention there and someone was at the convention that day.
Yeah, correct. And it's a 14 passenger, so they can take 14 at any time. I don't know that they've ever hit that capacity yet.
Okay. And what I had heard about Chariot, I've used it a lot of times, and we actually considered them to do some other shuttle work for us and bid it out a couple times, so I don't have any problems with them. But they did have some press in San Francisco when SFMTA asked that they be inspected, kind of a flash inspection, and they found they were running some buses that didn't have wheelchair accessibility, and then a couple of the drivers didn't have the right specification on their driver's license, the passenger endorsement that was required. So they went and got that fixed, and then they were allowed to start again. So just pay attention to that when they're, maybe check in with them, after a month or so, just make sure that they know it's the same rules here.
It did come up as far as we did not have a wheelchair accessible, because you have to kind of order that
right
in advance. So if that need does come up, we kind of, our backup plan is to use the full services, which already
yes, we have.
Or they need 24-hour notice to be able to provide that for us.
Right. So I think the rule is if it's public transit, it has to have one. And then if you're being a good citizen, you can make it available if it's needed by some of the other means.
Right.
So a lot of the big corporate shuttle systems, for example, they'll have maybe one bus that has a lift on it.
They have one.
Yeah, so as long as there is something
that's
taking care of that, then that's great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we were going to talk to them about possibly bidding on the circulator for the city center.
Oh, great.
So they may end up doing that, and that's that play into your guys' hands to bring more buses up to the table.
Yeah.
We are looking at other things for that, but I'm interested in hearing.
I think the potential of it is boundless. I mean, I think you could do quite a bit for our city as far as.
Right. And we really need them for we were hoping to have trips to Antioch at some point with a smaller bus system. And they've been the best as far as the pricing for that kind of thing. So we want to work with them on that.
That's
so thank you for bringing
that. There's a lot of avenues that could come from that. So.
Yeah, so I'm glad you guys did. I know Andy was working with you on
yes,
that,
exactly.
So that's great. I didn't know he was doing that. So I was surprised and happy when I heard that he had helped out. So that's great.
Good.
So I have a question.
Answer my question.
You mentioned that the shuttle picks up your guests, right, and takes them around. Does the shuttle take them places outside of Bishop Ranch, like if they want to go eat somewhere else?
No, it does. It is a kind of a pre-circulated route, so they do have to kind of go on that route.
Okay.
And it is kind of a scheduled thing, so it will just kind of go. It's not like, I want to go here. And then they'll take
right.
care. It has to be along that route.
Okay. So I'm just thinking, if somebody wants to go outside of Bishop Ranch to eat dinner, if you have a guest,
so they would go to the front desk, and then they would have to just get the hotel shop.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing that I said earlier. The wheelchair requirement in San Francisco was just for one of their runs. It was the one they were doing for club sport. Was open to the public.
Okay.
And it was regularly taking public passengers, so they needed to fulfill that requirement. Most of their other ones, you have to be part of some network or associated with a business or something like that.
And that's how ours is. It's set up with among the hotels, because they would get a passcode that is like specific to the hotels.
Right. So.
And you said there were six hotels included in this?
Yes.
What are the six hotels?
So it is the three Marriott properties, the full-service Marriott, the Courtyard, and the Residence Inn. The two extended stay properties, the one by Costco and the one next to the Courtyard, and then the Hyatt House.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's by In-N-Out.
Correct.
And they're Sprinters? Do you know, are they their van, right?
It's a, it's a 14 passenger, so it's a larger, but it is a van.
Okay, it's more of a van, not a cutaway with a truck front and then a big bubble in the back. It's more of a
integrated
van.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Do you guys brand that in any way, or are you?
Not yet. We're working. Yeah, we are planning to. So that's going to go. It's going to say Discover San Ramon. I don't think they have the logo ready. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be part of the wrap on
correct.
The vehicle.
Correct.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions?
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Absolutely. Exciting to have another transportation
cool.
vendor in the area. And there's, I talked to County Connection about it, and they're fully supportive, and they thought it was interesting to see how it works.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that you guys got a vehicle on the road.
Just to get the foot in the door, right? And then now it's kind of to see where it goes.
Yeah, see
and I would love that if that kind of blossomed into something that's used with the city center.
Yeah, because the County Connection vehicles, they don't like to do these kind of short mm-hmm. circulator kind of runs because it ruins their on-time performance because of the speed bumps and this constant stopping. They like the express services. So.
Yeah. So it's a good compliment.
Yeah, it's a good compliment. So it helps. All right. So that's our only new business item right now. So let's move into item five, the unfinished business. And I'm on this first one, the Bike Master Plan subcommittee meeting. We had a couple of actual meetings. We had a public meeting and we had a subcommittee meeting. So, and the subcommittee meeting was just before the public meeting. So I'll just talk about both of them a little bit so that people who weren't there can hear what we did. And maybe Darlene has some updates on the next steps. I don't know as much about that. But so I don't know if you guys got in the mail. The announcement's not the skunks announcement. But this kind of floated around. It was a postcard that went to people's houses and invited people to come. And we all sent the digital announcement out to everybody we could. And we ended up, for the public meeting, which was after our subcommittee meeting, pretty full room. It wasn't standing room only, but the room was full. It was over at the new City Hall. And Tool Design Group gave a presentation. And we had kind of a charrette situation where there was maps on tables, and people could go up and mark up the initial plan, which looked something like this. I could pass this around. Is this worth looking at since it's going to change, or?
You can pass it around if you would like.
You've already seen this, right? So go ahead and pass that around. And it's attached to it are some of the other plans. But this is the map of San Ramon with some of the initial proposed bike lanes. Speed things up. Turn this one this way. And this is not the final done deal. This was just our subcommittee had met a bunch of times. We toured around San Ramon, looked at places where there had been accidents, looked at places where there had been reports of problems, and talked about it and put it all into that map, and then looked to the public to mark it up and add their concerns. Some of the things that I thought were pretty interesting that were brought up in the public meeting were that people were super interested in where you go from one city to another, these transition points, and I think that's something that every city has to work at to try to get those, when you go from Danville to San Ramon, for example, holding hands with those neighborhoods and those other cities to try to come up with connections that work. Prior to this meeting, we sat down as a subcommittee and we talked about, attached to that map I just sent around is a list of projects and how each project is described. So there's some things on that I had never heard of before, some new designations. I guess I'm getting old and I don't know all the new designations, but I'd never heard of a class 4 separated bike lane. That was a new designation to me. So they talked a little bit about some of the way that bike lanes are changing. Some of you guys may not have noticed, but there's been this new movement to create a buffer between the driver and the bike lane, either with those kind of plastic wiggly posts or some kind of actual built thing in the landscape, like planter or something like that. And so it's separated by what they call a buffer. And that's what they're now calling this class 4 separated bike lane. And there are some places in the city where they're looking at this. This plan is not going to happen overnight. There's a lot of color on here, so this is kind of going to guide us through. I wanted to make sure that we could add things to this, that this wouldn't add or remove if we needed, because the city's going to change, and there's going to be places where we need new stuff. Like, does it have to be on here to be approved? No. Can we remove things from here that don't make sense? Sure. So. That list of plans is all on this attached sheet, and I could send it around to everybody. Does that make sense?
Let's send it to you guys if you want to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. So this was based off of the feedback that we had given to, like, when we went on the website and put the routes that we normally travel.
Yeah, they're calling that the wiki, where you go online and you would drop a pin where you thought there was an issue or a potential for a new bike lane. And then they would read through it, put on this map, and then everybody got a chance to comment. And, you know, there was definitely a lot of passion in the room, a lot of cyclists, because it ended up getting to a lot of the cycling groups, and they were the ones that showed up because it's there, it's going to be impacting them. So there were a lot of interest in getting things fixed quickly as possible, and especially there's a place on Bollinger that goes up towards Doherty Valley, just after Alcosta, which we all know is a problem location. And we had toured that as part of the subcommittee group. You guys all know where that is, basically. It's a very narrow area. The road is cut into the hillside, so there's basically walls on both sides. It's a very high-speed area, so there isn't a safe way to get through there. So how that's going to be treated hasn't been decided. It's definitely highlighted on here as a place that needs some major improvements. I submitted something that's a wacky improvement, which is something they do in Scandinavia. They have this thing that's called a bicycle. It's basically like a bicycle escalator, where you go up to it, you scan a card, and it push you up the hill. I don't know if that's the place for it, but we got to have that kind of thinking where we're it's not gonna be easy to fix, frankly. I mean, and it's just gonna be more traffic moving through there, especially with the widening. So I mean, as our committee, we might want to pay attention to that area since it's going to be, there's a potential for improvements and there's a lot of development going on in that area. So getting cyclists to and from City Center is a priority for Sunset, who I'm representing. And since it looks like the bridge is emerging from the, or has been designated, let me see this. So the city has notified the public of their intent to adopt the mitigated negative declaration for the Iron Horse Trail overcrossing. So that's the bike bridge that goes over at Bollinger. Yeah. So that's going to make it a lot easier for cyclists to move from one side of that bridge to the other. It's going to bring more cyclists to that area, and we got to come up with a way to bring people from up the hill to that bridge, or get them down the hill on the other side of the bridge. So this is an interesting piece of the puzzle, but it's not going to be the full answer.
And so, the bridge was slated for 2022?
I don't know if we have a date on it at this point. Yeah, I mean, it's 4 years, something like that is what I heard, but...
I think it's 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years. 2 years, yeah. Okay, 2 years for starting the construction, right? Yeah, so... And there's still some work to do, clearly. But it's interesting that it's moving forward.
Yeah.
And, you know... City's working hard on that. After I get the map from the input from the public, I'll make sure to share that with everybody. I think that makes the most sense. Sharing the older map probably doesn't make a lot of sense. So once we get that, you guys can all look at it and feel free to add stuff. And let's talk about it if you see any areas that need improvement near your businesses. That's the gist of it. The meeting went really well, and there was both pros and cons brought up, and lots of writing on those charrette maps, so that's how you build a great plan with citizen participation, so we'll see what comes out of that. Anybody have any questions about what transpired, or what the next step is, or anything like that? I mean, I think what we're waiting for is deliverable from Tool Design, which is the updated map after public involvement.
Yeah. So I haven't seen the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. You want to see it?
But the look and feel of the spreadsheet, is that intended to go in an appendix? And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be the nuts and bolts of the plan, right? But you're going to see it sort of in the mm-hmm. appendix as far as projects.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to. There'll be more added to this after this public participation process.
And intersections get pretty detailed in design, so when you're talking like major intersections, I'm sure that there's going to be, you know, all kinds of, you know,
changes.
Debate and,
oh, yeah.
and or preferences as far mm-hmm. as what people want, you know, the width of the crosswalk here versus the width of the crosswalk there, at, you know, on each of the corners and things like that. So how far does that actually, I mean, it doesn't look like it's too detailed right now.
No.
But are we going to go all the way down to say these are the needs for the intersection? I mean, a total laundry yep. list in terms of, or is it going to be more general? You know, this is what we need to do for the distance portions where there's,
right.
you know, significant distance between intersections. And then,
right.
so how, I guess, how are intersections going to be treated in the plan?
Yeah, and I think that that was brought up at the meeting too, because it really is, every intersection is a different animal. My understanding, and I could get back to you on a good answer on this, but my understanding is that these are designed to match sections of bike lane and to kind of outline what we think as a committee should be the type of lane that is run through this area. And individual intersections would be things that would be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, unless there are dangerous situations that need to be dealt with right away, and then they're called out here. And there's a, you know, we have a whole series of improvements that we wanted to do inside of Bishop Branch right away. And you know, it doesn't list each one. It just says painted conflict markings in Bishop Branch. And, you know, as that moves forward and as funding becomes available for that, either from us or from other sources or from the city, then we'll pull out each one of those intersections and decide how those things will be done. And it's not that, you know, if it says Class 2 bike lane, that's all that's going to be there, and the intersection is going to be whatever you want. So,
okay.
So as soon as this, I'm assuming that this list will be yet again revised after the meeting, and will be sent out with this stuff. So I'll try to get back to you. So you get to the bottom of that. Okay. That's all I have for that. Super interesting. I'm glad you guys are finally getting a master plan. It's going to be great. next would be the Southwest Contra Costa County Employer Survey. Is this the every 4 year?
Yeah, this is the every 3-4 years. So I mean, you guys probably already know this, you know, the other hat I wear is 511 Contra Costa, and I receive funds from the transportation funds from Clean Air and the Measure J Half Cent Sales Tax to run commuter programs called 511 Contra Costa. And a part of that is also to do this employer survey. You know, it's pretty flexible. It's basically, you know, I have like, I think 5 years to do a survey, but the city likes to do it every 3 to 4 years. The last survey was done in 2013. The survey was just, though, it was just San Ramon and in Danville. Part of being with 501 Contra Costa, the funds that I do receive, it does cover other areas, not just San Ramon. I also cover the La Mirinda area, which is the Moraga, Lafayette, and Mirinda, and also the San Ramon Valley, which is the San Ramon and Danville. So the survey that that we're talking about to do, actually it's going to be done next year because 2017 is almost over, so it'll be 2018 survey. This survey will be called the Southwest Contra Costa County Employer Survey, because I am going to also try to survey the employers in the other areas in La Mirinda and in Danville. Now that survey, the full survey, the last one we did was 2009. That was the last time we surveyed the full Southwest Contra Costa County. So, I mean, a lot more information and a lot more detail is going to happen next year for this committee. Right now, it's just, you know, it's on here as a reminder. This this agenda item will be on our agenda now throughout 2018, because starting in January, we are going to sit down and seriously talk about the timeline. I know at our last meeting we talked about doing the survey in spring, but I believe Chris brought up the last survey we did was both done in like October, November time. So if we want to compare apples to apples and, you know, make sure the week that we select is the same. So we decided, I believe, as a committee to do this survey in the same time frame next year, which gives us some leeway because starting in January, we can start on the RFP. We can start on the time frame. I have a draft time frame. I can send this out to the committee. It'll probably be part of the January packet. And we kind of just work backwards from the week that we select in November and or October. And then you kind of work backwards on when to send out the RFP, when to invite the employers, because there's a lot of steps that are going to need to be involved, especially because we're doing the whole Southwest County, not just San Ramon. But I did ask Yolanda to share the Marriott did a survey for their employees just a couple of months ago, correct?
Well, actually, we did this a year ago.
A year ago. Wow. See, to me, a couple of months ago. So I just kind of wanted her to share her experience with actually, you know, starting the survey and finishing it and gathering the information.
We did it in SurveyMonkey, and my assistant actually took care of it all. And he came up, and I have a copy of what we asked. So I can kind of pass this around. I don't have any of the results because he's currently on a medical leave and I wasn't able to access SurveyMonkey, but it actually was a pretty good turnout. We had a lot of folks answer it. And when I did it, I actually got to figure out where all my associates are coming from and what some of the transportation issues were. I have about 16% coming from the San Leandro, Oakland area.
Oh, wow.
And so transportation here from there is quite difficult.
Yes.
We do have a couple of carpools that people have set up among themselves that we're doing right now. And then I have about 4 or 5% coming from over the hill when I did this survey, but I think it's grown now.
Okay.
And that again is another major issue with transportation. Coming once you cross that hill, it's maybe an hour or hour and a half just to get on to 680 to come our way. So that has been an eye-opener for us also. And for my also learning, it's about where I need to recruit from. And so I know what the difficulties are from recruiting from these areas will be in the future for me. And then I'm headed north, I guess, toward the Antioch area. I don't have as big of a pool there, but it is starting to get bigger.
Nice.
And also transportation is another challenge. I've gone to several job fairs at the local community college up there, and the first thing that comes out is too far and there's no transportation this way, so that's another issue that we have, that we're facing.
And how many employees did you survey?
179 is what I have.
And do you recall what your response rate was?
I believe we had about 80%.
Oh, nice. Good. Be very interested to see the results. I understand.
That's hopefully he's going to come back in the next month, and then I can reaccess that.
No, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And so I don't know if everybody saw the questions, but and I have, I mean, they're pretty massive, but if you guys are interested and want some reading, I will print these out for you and make them all nice and pretty and send them to you. This is the 2009 Southwest County survey, and this was the 2013. So once again, the 2013 was San Ramon and Danville, and 2009 was all the Southwest. If you guys are interested to kind of get a feel of what type of information we are trying to gather, with the, you know, the questions that we're going to ask, just let me know. I don't mind. I have some in my office I can just give to you guys, or if you want to just take it home and read and bring it back, that's an option as well. But like I said, this is definitely going to be an agenda item for next month, starting next month. In 2018. I can't believe that we're almost over. It's just mind-boggling that I'll be cooking a turkey on Thursday. So
you'll make it.
So anywho, so that's it. It was just kind of a brief summary just to kind of just remind everybody that we did talk. This is definitely something that's moving forward. It's going to move forward for next year. We just need to figure out what week, what time frame that we're going to do this, because it's really important. And then once we figure that out, you just start backwards. Okay. And I have a cheat sheet for a timeline on how far each step takes. And then we'll just start this process for sure. Anybody have any questions about the survey?
I got one.
Yes.
So last time we just did a smaller version.
Correct.
It would be nice to have the way the survey's organized to be able to take that smaller version and combine it with the new one, at least for that portion.
For those two cities? I mean, because of San Ramon and...
Yeah, just so that we could get
numbers over time, just so
we
don't
we can
lose that information in the middle, even though we didn't do the full giant survey in 2013. It'd be nice to have that core piece be the same all through all three of them.
Yeah.
And we could get a better trend with three data points than just two.
Right, and that's something I think it's really important when we start looking at the RFP that we're going to be sending out. We just need to make sure something like that is actually like in detail what we want this consultant to do. Because it's really important. I think I shared with everybody last time, you know, the last couple of times, the consultant, they did a wonderful job. It's just that for this final report to be done, it took a lot of me. It took a lot of Darlene time to get in here and to write. And Chris, I relied on Chris, too, to write the...
most of it.
Well, you helped out a lot, too. The final results?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Took a while, but we did it. So... live and learn. Next time, the RFP is going to have all this detailed information so the consultant can do it. Our budget for the survey is $20,000. So that's kind of what we're starting off with. Was approved by it's called the Southwest Area of Transportation. We call it SWAT for a couple of, I think it was last year's budget. So they approved the $20,000 to be spent on the survey. So we have a starting point. We just need to, just like I said, once we figure out that week, I think we're going to be good. We're good to go. And trying to figure out how many employers are going to actually participate. That's the biggest part.
Okay. And we really need to do, we're planning to do a survey next year also. So we prefer to go to people once rather than multiple.
Definitely.
Times.
We can tag team and make it a worthwhile survey. You know what I mean? We can work together and make sure your questions.
That'd be great.
Because we've done that before in the past. I think the 2009 Bishop Ranch, you guys had your own survey questions.
Okay.
I mean, they were similar to the ones that we asked the other employers, but they had just different questions that you guys wanted to address.
Yeah, and I don't know if I like that.
Okay, it's up to you.
I prefer to have it be compatible with everybody else's questions.
Okay.
Because it's more, to me, that's more valid. I hate to have us peeled out as a separate group and have different.
Okay.
It's just going to be it's a different experience, you know. If you have a short survey versus a very long survey, people are going to act differently and take less time on each survey question. So I prefer to keep them the same.
Right.
But we'll talk about that later.
That sounds great.
And everybody here will have a chance to give input
on
what those
definitely.
Questions are.
You guys will definitely have input on the questions. You know, I'll bring all that to you guys. And like I said, if you guys want to read what we've done in the past, please let me know.
So
nighttime reading.
So I have a question, sort of similar to my comments before. I mean, the surveys, and now that I hear the budget, I kind of am a little more modest in what I think should be done. But I think it would be great if we move beyond just the survey results. If we're seeing the TDM program as a whole, and we're sort of connecting the dots between the surveys and or funds being paid in the TDM program, to see sort of the laundry list of, you know, action items in responding to these survey questions, and get some sort of dashboard, if you will, to sort of have these, you know, reporting sort of elements out there that gives us a little more awareness as to what the expectations of the community are, what the funds are going into being used for, and how that is all shaking out, so we can sort of get a better plan as to how we should be sort of maybe moving some of the money around or focusing our attention on certain elements to go back to the survey, something that sort of connects it a little bit more than just having these survey results sort of sit and document the existing condition, rather than being sort of strategic and trying to use the survey as a data point and really provide kind of a snapshot as to what we're doing and how we're moving forward.
I think that's what Darlene tried to add to the, because in the last survey when we put out the bid, it wasn't clear that we wanted recommendations.
Yeah.
And we just basically said we wanted you to do a survey, and then when we went to go say, hey, so what are the recommendations as a result? They're like, oh, it's not in there.
So kind of we work together to try to come up with some ideas about how to capture what we already do and then recommend stuff that we had seen other people doing. But that, like she said, we should talk about that when we do the RFP to see that, make it clear what we want to get out as the results. You know, some kind of tool or some kind of dashboard or something like that might be useful. So it's a good idea. And it's something that we were surprised that they didn't do that anyways. But
I mean, survey grades, survey results are great, but what are we doing with them and how are they sort of enlivening our whole sort of work plan kind of thing?
And the council might be able to, you know, weigh in on those things at some point. Who knows? You know, when we get the survey, like, so what do you think of the survey?
Yeah.
It's in your packet. What's the next step? What's the next action items we need to do as a city to move forward with fixing these challenges? So,
Brian, if you're not going to speak during public comment, can you wait until committee member items to make comments on items on the agenda, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
We're almost there.
Yep.
So let's go on to 5.3, which is commuter fares.
Yes, so that's me again. And I do apologize. We have hired, I apologize because this probably should have been first on the agenda. I would like to introduce everybody to Zane. Zane is our new TDM outreach here at the city of San Ramon. He is also helping me with the La Mirinda area. So he is our outreach coordinator, and he's been working, he started back in August. And I know we canceled our last meeting, that's why you guys haven't met him yet. But he has been doing a wonderful job with reaching out to employers, to property managers throughout the SWAT areas. And so in regards to this agenda item, Zane, I know you brought in a couple of notes in regards to what you have been doing. We, both him and I, have been actively going out to the communities. We attended a couple of community events when he first started, and now pretty much he's on his own. He's doing some employer outreach. It has nothing to do with San Ramon, but he was just at Moraga and doing Lafayette. And so I just wanted you guys to meet Zane, because as part of the committee, as you know, we're supposed to be reaching out to your employees as well. So Zane will be contacting each of you guys to try to plan something out for 2018. If it's a tabling event, if it's just a come in and talk to your employee event, whatever, however. So Zane will be the person that will be doing that for this committee starting in 2018. So, welcome, Zane. Thank you so much. Pardon?
Should I tell them about a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, when I began, I started with San Ramon Danville Services. And I kind of, few things we discussed was bang for our buck, which meant that we wanted events where we could get to as many people as possible. We switched between community engagement and employer outreach. So some places where we know that there's not that many employers and we work on community outreach, such as farmers markets, chamber business events, we do things that are involved where we know the community is going to go show up, festivals, and where we give them information about 511's offering, TDM offerings for the city of San Ramon. And then on the other hand, I've been starting more outreach to employment sites, so especially in the San Ramon Danville area. Some of these business parks, I reached out to some of the plazas on Crow Canyon and whatnot and tried to get it where either we're tabling outside, but obviously the weather is not probably the best, and also one-to-one with employers where I stop by, give them information, tell them about incentives, and then some email me back and say, oh, how do we set up a carpool, or how do we get them to go on the website, and I send emails. So if you guys have any questions, if you guys want to set up maybe events, I'm free. I can come out there. We can look at ideas. We can do dates. I can bring stuff. We invested in incentives that are it's really cool. So we set up like a spin wheel, if anybody knows, if you guys ever seen a prize wheel. So we did a prize wheel, but we did it on commute-based items. So you guys get 511 branded items that if an employee comes by, we talk to them, we show them what kind of commute options or alternatives that we're pursuing. We tell them about their incentives, and we also ask them to spin the wheel, and they can win, you know, little things that maybe help them. We had notepads, we had backpacks, we had 511, we had a battery charger where they could look at it, and, you know, on their commute they can use it, and they can win these things. So if you guys want to do an event, we can always bring out the spin wheel. It'd be fun. The employees can stop by, check it out, and we talk to them. So that are some of the things that we're working on lately.
Thank you.
Did you guys rent that wheel, or did
no,
you
we,
own it? Or?
We
got
it.
A design.
All right.
Yes,
cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's we had our logo, 501 Contra Costa logo on it. It's blue and white, so it kind of goes with the theme. And
yeah, because we were renting one from this party place up in Market Creek, and the thing looked like it was 40 years old.
Oh, no, ours is, ours is actually really nice. I'm really impressed. I'm really glad that we did it. It's, like I said, it has the 501 Contra Costa logo.
Great.
And blue
carrying
and white.
Carrying case, steel design, you know,
yeah.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
You can put things up, take them down, customize it.
It's a whiteboard, so to speak, so you write in.
Oh, that's great.
With,
yeah.
So it's really cool. So, more to...
Yes, yes. Actually, I'll... before we go, I'll give everybody business
okay,
cards.
Perfect. So, so more to come on that. It's exciting stuff.
Okay, welcome to our team.
Yeah.
And thanks for picking up our sandwiches today.
Yeah.
Or at least delivering them from whoever delivered them.
Yeah.
All right. I had some fares, not much, just regular tabling at Chevron, and been doing lots of new tenants, a lot of interest in alternative transportation, specifically the bus system, and got a brand new bus for our San Francisco run, so it's 2017 model, so people are liking that a lot. But I'll give an update on what we're doing a little bit later. But as far as our events, they've been primarily new employee orientations for Robert Half, SAP, GE, and Chevron. We go to almost all of those and give presentations. That's it. All right, so 5.4, the countywide incentive programs. Is there additional incentives you want to discuss?
So, so for 501 Contra Costa, I think at the last meeting I mentioned that CCTA, which is the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, has taken a lead to do a strategic plan for the 501 Contra Costa programs. And I just kind of just really briefly, about a month ago, So CCTA is the lead. They sent out an RFP to consultants to see who wanted to do this strategic plan. Then about a month ago, we held interviews. There were three consultants that actually submitted for the RFP, and it was Mott McDonald, Ecom, and ADC Partners. So 501 Contra Costa and CCTA interviewed these three consulting firms to see for the strategic plan. And it was decided to move forward with AECOM, and CCTA is taking that to their board, I believe, in December to get approval. And then we're going to start moving forward and working with AECOM to look at the 501 Contra Costa program as a whole. And the plan is just to make sure, just to kind of relook at the plans, how we're spending the money, the funding, see if there's new ways, new technology, things that... the money could be spent on. So more to come on that, but I just wanted to give you guys a heads up because that's something also that probably will be coming in 2018, is more information and about 501 Contra Costa and how we're moving forward with that. But meanwhile, it's business as usual. Like Zane said, we're going out there and we're still educating the employers and the commuters about 501 Contra Costa and really trying to get people to utilize the benefits that are out there for everybody who's commuting to and from Contra Costa County. That's all I have.
Okay, so let's move into committee member items. I've have some things that I wanted to throw in here, just updates about what's going on in the ranch.
Go for it.
So I don't have any updates on some of these things, but some of them I just wanted to bring up and just maybe we could talk about whether we want to invite someone to talk to us about what's going on. You know, specifically, express lanes have launched since we last met, and that's a big deal on the highway. And I haven't heard much about the results and what the next step plans might be. I use them, so we just, since we last met, I also opened our hydrogen fueling station. So I'm leasing a hydrogen car and using it in that lane, just to kind of see what it's like. And so I'd be interested to see what the plans are for it, whether there's going to be changes in the fees, for example, as clearly the lane is capped at $450, it looks like, right now.
Yeah.
During the peak of the commute. Mm-hmm. So are there plans to raise that, to keep that lane moving? Can we look at maybe inviting someone here to give us an update
for
on
next
that?
Year? Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because I think that everybody's wondering about that.
Okay.
And if you look in the paper, there's a lot of people who are doing the armchair planning stuff, and they don't have the data. So it would be great if we could have some of the data and be able to see what the plans are. I can guess what's going on, but I'd rather know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Awesome.
I can look for that.
And we've been vending the fast track transponder, so I don't know if you guys have used it. If you have a regular fast track, you go in there, it'll charge you whatever it says up in the window to drive in the diamond lane, even if you're riding alone. If you have a switchable fast track, you can have a partner in the vehicle with you, and then you get to go in there for free. And then if you switch it to three, then that's if you have an alternative fuel vehicle or your vanpool, you can also go in there for free. So, I mean, that's the burning question. If people are paying $450 to go in that lane and it's stopped, it's clearly not a high enough price. So, how high is that price going to go to keep that lane moving? And is there plans to I mean, it's not going to be popular, so I'm super interested in hearing how that goes.
Okay.
A lot of people are using it, though, that's for sure. Also, this ties into Scoop, which is, we've talked about it here before, the app that you use to match carpools. And they've launched a new functionality that I wanted to mention. So they have an app where you basically, if you want to do a carpool match with people, they'll use an app to match you once in the morning and once at night. And in the past, if you didn't match, well, too bad. They wouldn't have a match for you. If you had scooped in the morning, they would pay for your ride home. But they didn't have a second rematch after the first set of matches took place. So now they've launched this new functionality where they run a match, and everybody that didn't get matched, they run it again. And it doesn't seem like a big deal, but to me, that was a really big deal, because there's reasons why people don't get matched that are out of their control. You know, for example, if you matched with someone and they decided, oh, I can't drive tonight, and cancel, then you're a perfectly good passenger that has nobody to drive home with them. So then you have a second set of matches where that person could get matched. So I like that functionality. I think it's cool. And then combined with this new thing they've launched where if you scoop to a BART station, specific BART station, you get to park for free at that BART station. So the idea is you get to park in those, you know, all those spots that you drive by that you can't park in before 10 a.m. and you're going up and up and up.
Permanent parking.
Yes. So you can park down there with the Scoop app if you've scooped with someone to BART. So it's an interesting experiment. The parking is free for now. I don't know if it's going to be free in the long run.
Right.
But, you know, combining this interest in the express lane and the diamond lane with the fast track transponder and Scoop together could be an interesting paradigm for mm-hmm. carpooling. So we're all waiting to see what the results are. So it'd be great to, maybe Scoop could even come that same day.
Yeah.
You know, the same day we do MTC or whoever's going to come for that thing. I don't know. But our Scoop participation has just been going up and up and up every month. I foresee it going down this month because of the holidays, because that's how all of our numbers go during mm-hmm. the holidays, so I haven't gotten this month's numbers yet, but we'll see. But otherwise, it's been trending upwards every month. You may have heard, on behalf of Sunset, you may have heard about the autonomous vehicle test in Vegas, which got a lot right. of publicity. They got out on the public roads before anybody else in the country. Was kudos to them, but they ended up not managing very well and got in a kind of a bad situation. So I am happy for them that they got that award, but still ours will be the safest autonomous bus on the road. We might not be the first, but we'll be the safest. So we're ready to go on the public road now. We're just waiting for DMV approval. And the last thing DMV wants is they want us to stamp the serial number of the motor into the motor itself. Whereas, because in France, you have to put a, all you have to do is put a plate on it, and they're afraid that you could pry that plate off and then switch the motors out, and then they wouldn't know what motor was in there. So we have to stamp that on the motor somehow, and we're trying to figure out how to do that. So once that's done, then we've already submitted paperwork for the license plates, and our goal is to do something really simple. And what I've asked for, and they haven't said for sure we're going to do it, but it would be going from 2700 Camino Ramon across the new crosswalk, and our, the light on Camino Ramon that we put mid-block, and it'll go across to where GE is, just across the way, and take those people to and from the roundhouse as a first step on public roads. So very, you'll only be on public roads for like 30 seconds. But we want to make sure, if we're going to be on the public road, nothing is going to go wrong. So step by step.
Yes.
And we'll have 150 people who are going to sign a waiver to be regular riders on that at GE and 2700 Camino Ramon. And those people will get to use it every day until we do a survey, and that survey will be submitted to DMV, and then we'll be where Vegas thinks they are today, which they clearly aren't. But a little bit different approach, but I think that the tortoise will win the race in this way. So see how that goes. We have tree lighting coming up, so December 1st, so you're welcome to visit. A lot of regular stuff, snow and reindeer and those kinds of things, kids singing, those kinds of things. Welcome to come.
Where will the tree lighting?
It's at 6011 Bollinger. And there's a 70-foot tree there, so you can't miss it. At night, it looks like the thing's on fire. There's so many lights on that thing. It's crazy. It's really bright.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It's cool. Yeah.
But it's fun to go to, and it's just it's a pretty big crowd, so buses will still be running right to the heart of it, so their access is maintained, so you can take the bus there, no problem.
Do you have a flyer on that that you can send to the committee?
I could send a link to our promotion. So.
Do that. That way you guys can at least know the address and the time and stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's worth checking out if you've never been before. And there'll be a band and stuff like that.
Food trucks,
yes. The whole shebang. Lots of yummy snacks and treats and things like that. Okay, as far as bikes go, our bike club has been getting bigger and bigger, actually. This is interesting. We have this Bishop Ranch Friday night bike club that does three different levels of rides up into the hills, so really difficult ones for people that want to punish themselves, and then easier ones and slow ones for people that just want to talk, you know, and go up and down the Iron Horse Trail. So that's we're looking at getting some jerseys for that, which is pretty fun. We opened our bike room in 2600 Camino Ramon, so it's got a bicycle park vending machine and indoor bike parking and that kind of stuff. It's pretty fun. We just finished an application with the city to get some bike lockers for 2603 Camino Ramon?
Yeah, something like
behind
that.
There.
Yeah.
So we're going to put those in, and that the bike club is headquartered basically out of RHI there, so all those guys have dibs on those lockers, so they're pretty excited to jump right in there, because their lockers they have now are all full. So thank you, Contra Costa 501. And then as far as additional work on city center access is being done now for the trails and bike lanes and those kinds of things, and bus access. So we're talking with the new planners at County Connection. They got a whole new group of people working there, young planners that aren't hidebound in the past, and they're super interested in trying new stuff. And it's great. And it's great to have a new group that's really excited about the future and wants to try some new things.
Right.
We're working on that kind of stuff.
And you guys all know the city center is due to open next year in October, correct?
Right.
Around that time. So that's, that's.
There is a rendering also online of it.
Oh,
if you haven't seen it.
There
really cool.
Yeah.
There's a whole city center website.
So.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Go nuts. But there's
kind of need to walk through it.
We just made a proposal to the city about the for TDM, since that's what we're doing here, that all the employers in City Center would get the free bus passes and be covered by all the programs at Bishop Ranch BRTA. So we would do events in there, and we would give them the free bus passes and provide them assistance. So hopefully that'll be approved. We haven't gotten the full approval yet, so
correct.
I'm just going back and forth trying to see what we can add, and excited about that. So maybe you guys will have some input on developing programs for City Center and that kind of stuff. Should be good. That's all I have.
Does anybody else have any committee item updates? I think. Okay.
Did you have anything you want to add? Where to start?
No, I think I'm good. Thank
okay. So, like Ryan was hinting at, I think that with this survey, we have an opportunity to kind of define how TDM will be dealt with by the city moving forward. So this next year, it's been a little slow for some of you guys that you just started out. There wasn't a lot to do, but this next year, we're going to have a lot of stuff to work on related to the survey and coming up with kind of recommendations that'll go in those results that kind of set the direction of kind of what the TDM Advisory Committee is going to be, because I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now's the time to eat. So
shall
we adjourn, or shall we make the meeting take place while we're eating?
So this is what, you could adjourn. And then. So just real quick, though, this is the last meeting of the year. And so every year, at the end of the year, we just thank our committee members for all their dedication. So we purchased lunch for everyone. And so at this time, you guys are welcome to sit. We're here till 1:30, so you guys are welcome to eat if you like in the room, mingle, talk. But if you need to get back, that's okay too. You can take your box lunch. But other than that, I just want to say thank you guys for being a part of the committee. And I know January, a few of you guys might be up in regards to your terms might expire in January. If you have not already, our city clerk office will be mailing you a new application to fill out. And I hope you guys do. Right now, I don't know off the top of my head who is expiring in January. Well, I shouldn't say expiring, that's really bad. Whose terms expire in January. So hopefully, the ones that do, you guys reapply. But that's it. Just thank you guys. And Chris, go ahead, you could adjourn the meeting, and then we can just sit back and eat.
I'm going to grab everybody some business cards.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming. Let's adjourn. And anybody else?